Okay.
Start our worship time this Memorial Day weekend as we celebrate God's great faithfulness among us. Won't you turn and share God's peace to one another as we worship?
I didn't even think about that freedom song. Mm-hmm. Did you think about that for Memorial Day? I didn't either. God takes care of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Break in here.
Makes you look like you know what you're doing.
All right, as we make our way back to our seats. Oh, yeah, you guys are chatty this morning. That's good. That's real good. On this holiday weekend, might as well, right? Getting ready for all the picnics and stuff. As we move into a time of worship and song, I just want to sort of give us a chance to set our hearts on it. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're here. That's the first step. We're physically here. And now we just hand it to you to have us be spiritually here, to have our hearts be here, to have your grace rain down on us, and so that the songs that are sung, the lyrics that we hear, the music that makes our heart beat, the words that Troy says, the smile of the person that just shook your hand and said good morning, all those things, let us feel and know by faith that that's you making it a good day, a good life, a peaceful time. We're here for that. We long for it. And use everything about this morning to make that happen. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hear it echo from the valley to the sky. It's the heartbeat of the dead now raised to life. Nothing can stop the sound. God be lifted high. Songs of the people will rise. Hear the broken, see the helpless find a way. From the darkness to the light in Jesus' name. Sinners and saints all sing, God be glorified. The songs of the people will rise. The songs of the people will rise. A mighty fortress, the solid rock. Amen. Glory, glory.
we come to our time of prayer, the prayer cards are before you in the pew. The blue cards, you may use those for joys, concerns, confessions, interceding on behalf of others through the grace of God, and bring those to the altar or place those in the offering plate as they move around a bit later. But we have two prayer shawls. One is for Mark, dealing with a cancer diagnosis and battle. And another is for David, dealing with surgical infection post knee replacement, fairly serious condition that we want to blanket him in prayer. So during this time, know that the God who's given us life is with us, and we are invited to come forward individually together to place our concerns and our joys and intercessions on the altar, and also to pray over those blankets.
So as we move to the prayer time, I wanted to just take a minute to read a quick couple of sentences from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. So to me that means, you know, in our prayer time, if we don't really take that opportunity to let God take over it, because I'm a control freak. If anybody knows me for 5 minutes, they've got that figured out. And I kind of want to take it over myself. And that just clearly says, you know, if you don't let the foundation be him, then there's nothing there. And half the battle in that is just being still and letting it wash over you. And so the next song that we do in your time of prayer is called Still.
God of grace and God of glory. We join the old hymn writer and ask on your people, pour your power that we might be able to be still in your presence, that we might be able to take in the sights of the goodness and the bounty and the blessings that you poured out on us, that we might be able to be strength in the storm for someone else and a light in the midst of darkness for what oftentimes seems the news and events of this world. Help us, Lord, as we gather here to know that your Spirit is here to nourish us, to feed our souls, to bring to memory the great faithfulness that you've embodied to us in Jesus and through your holy church. As we gather as your church this day, Lord, we want to pray specifically for our graduates, especially those in this season graduating from college and high school that are part of this faith community, Lord. In so many ways, you've used people here and used some of the ministries here to fashion and form them, to prepare a path and help increase the precision of their sight, that they might look for you in their way forward. We just pray a prayer of rejoicing and a protection for them and their families as they celebrate and as they move into the next pathways that you have for them. Help them, Lord, to have a searching spirit for you, to have a sense that they are forever tethered to your truth and your rock, the foundation of our faith, your perfect love and perfect witness and truth made known through Jesus of Nazareth. As we worship this day, Lord, we pray for Mark and David as they'll be enveloped in these prayer shawls this week. Might these be representations of a care and a love beyond their own personal circles, that they know that others who are called sisters and brothers in your creation and in the faith have lifted them up in prayer. Buoy their spirits and help them to see the ways in which you surround them with your love and your goodness and your mercy as they battle these health issues. Lord, as always, we pray for the world that you came to redeem because you teach us to extend our worldview beyond ourselves and our small circle here into the greater goodness of your creation. Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, help those of us that are gathered in worship throughout the world, and especially here in America, to count the cost that you have paid for us. And as Americans, for us to give voice to the cost that's been paid by others as they lay down their life. Help us, Lord, to remember that and to teach us to our children and our grandchildren and to tell the story of that sacrifice of an era that's gone by and of a Thanksgiving that still seems distant at times, but has to be very present in our intentional practice. So, Lord, we honor all those who've given themselves for freedom and for a cause much larger than themselves. Instill in us a hunger, Lord, to thirst for justice and to stand and speak for your righteousness. All in the mighty mercy of Jesus, we are bold to pray. Amen. As we come to our time of offering, before we present God's tithes and our offerings, I want to invite Melanie Feldner forward for a formal introduction, and she's going to have a brief time of sharing. Melanie is our new director of children's ministry, and won't you welcome her among us as she comes to share with us.
Good morning to all my 8 o'clock friends. I am Melanie Feldner, and I'm officially your new director of children's ministries. And I wanted to take just a couple of moments to introduce myself and talk about an immediate need that we have. First of all, I just want to give you just an overview of how I ended up here. So a couple of months ago, I read in a devotional, it said, pay attention to what God made you to be. Didn't think much about it at the time. Pay attention to what God made you to be. And then as the weeks went on, and it's so funny, I can relate to Kim so much. You guys over there, be quiet. I am a bit of a control freak. But I actually slowed down and listened. And as I listened, this calling just started to roll out before me. And everything started to fall into place. And the more I listened, the easier it became and the clearer my path and my journey and the next step and the next season of my life. And so here I am in front of all of you today as Director of Children's Ministries, very excited. And then I also want to share with you a need that we have. So in your handouts today, you'll find the white flyer, and there are a couple of opportunities. We have VBS coming up, which calling True Avengers, a superhero theme, which you all know about. And then on the flip side, we have a critical need for summer Sunday school teachers. And let me define critical. I don't have anybody yet. So I thought I would just define so that you get to know me and when I say critical, what it means. Let me tell you a little bit about summer Sunday school. You don't have to prepare anything. Everything is provided for you. We have children from 2 years old to fifth grade that are just looking for youth and grown-ups who want to have some fun for a couple of Sunday mornings. No experience with children necessary at all, I promise. And we will guide you through it. So you'll see the dates. It starts June 18th. You'll see the dates for VBS and Summer Sunday School. You can also go online. My contact information is on there, and I'll be here and around all morning. So if you feel that call, please let me know. Please sign up, because we're going to have some fun this summer. So I'm happy to be here, looking forward to this new journey, and thanks, everyone.
Let's offer for the ministries of Christ here and beyond God's tithes and our offerings.
Strength to be, let thy goodness. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
As always, we're grateful for the ministry of our praise team and Kim for her leadership today. A couple things just to update you on. Please do offer your attention to Melanie's request and various other ministry opportunities in the worship folder, including the inserts. I want to note two significant things in the life of the church. One is Reverend Sharon Halderman, who was our district superintendent and was a very good mentor for me and for many other clergy, died this past week. And we just want to lift John and the family up in prayer. Sharon and John worshiped here at times among us with us over the last year. So they primarily attended Middlesex United Methodist Church. And we offer thanksgiving for Sharon's life and witness. On Friday evening, I had the great privilege of serving as the pastor at the wedding of Nick Carlson and Jenna Laubach. Many of you know Jenna and the Laubach family. They typically worship at 11 a.m. here, but Jenna grew up here, and just what a privilege it was. And in the midst of that ceremony, they built an Ebenezer, which is somewhat of a focus of today's scripture message. The parents and grandparents came in and put sand in a vase, setting up a foundation of this beautiful vase on a small altar table. And then during the ceremony, each person that had arrived had been given a small stone. And in that ceremony, they were asked at a specific time in that gathering to offer a prayer, a blessing, and a hope for Nick and Jenna. And during a beautiful prayer song, those stones were collected, and Nick and Jenna then built this Ebenezer. And Ebenezer is literally in Hebrew means stone of help, stone of help, and indicates that thus far the Lord has met us, the Lord has been with us. So this weekend, as we move through Memorial Day, I thought it would be appropriate for us to take a look at the commission and the direction Scripture gives us for us to be memorializing the events of God's great faithfulness in our lives. And I want to begin with this very appropriate video for people of faith and people of this nation, Memorial Day weekend.
In 1868, the United States Military Commander-in-Chief, Major General John A. Logan, declared a time to remember. To remember those who gave their lives so that we might live in freedom. To remember those who served our country so that we might remain strong. Let no neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free nation. During World War I, poet Robert Binion said of the fallen soldiers, "They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. We will remember them." Today, we remember all those who used their lives to give us the freedoms we enjoy today. The freedom to live. The freedom to express opinion. The freedom to worship. We also remember our loved ones. They too used their lives to share with us the freedom of salvation in Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Those that have gone before us have left a powerful testimony. Let us do the same for those that come behind us.
Before we look at the scripture, I want to just talk a few moments about things that memorials can do for us and to us and through us. A memorial can celebrate a heroic or happy event or mourn a tragic event. A memorial can remind those who lived through the event of terrible cost of war what that cost was and remind subsequent generations that there was a price paid. A memorial can promote healing. Can you think of a memorial that has been well known for promoting healing over the years? Anyone ever been to the Vietnam Memorial and seen the items left behind or stood there alongside Vietnam vets as they wept and they crossed out, used a pencil to bring a name of a fallen comrade to life? I'll never forget, and Kim, I think Garris still talks about it, when we did the confirmation trip, David Watkins took a group that wanted to go over to the Vietnam Memorial. And they went and they stood there with David as he told his story. And I think he shared of the individual that was in his tent as fire came in one night as they both headed into a foxhole and an explosion happened and his tent mate fell into his arms dead. And they heard that, and they heard it as more than just a story of horror and sacrifice and pain. They heard it for the promise of healing that comes through that memorial and how God then used David's life when he came back here in a call to ministry. So it can promote healing. A memorial can help the immediate generation realize that something significant has happened in the past that called for courage and strength, and we might also need to sacrifice. On a personal level, we want our children to understand what's important and valuable in life, and memorials can help that. As we come to our scripture today, it's on a weekend that we know as Memorial Day weekend. It was first called Decoration Day. Anyone remember that old term? When the graves of the fallen were decorated to celebrate the freedom and acknowledge their sacrifice. It's not to be confused with Veterans Day, and a lot of us do that. A lot of people think Memorial Day weekend is a day to celebrate those serving in the military. That's not what its intent is. It's to remember and memorialize and commemorate the sacrifices of lives emptied out that we might have freedom. But how much this weekend for even us that are older becomes just the unofficial start of summer. Well, perhaps we should go back to Scripture and hear God's directions on what memorials are to be. From Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 and moving through verse 7. This is after Moses has died. He's not entering the promised land, and Joshua has been put in charge. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight.'" Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites, whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder. one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. Now listen to this part. This is a cool portion in this passage. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. This is the good news of our God. The Israelites are on their final leg of the journey of deliverance to the promised land. And there was one final barrier on that long journey through the wilderness, the desert, and all that defied the gift of faith within themselves and trust in God. That one final barrier was the Jordan River. Isn't it interesting that they began their exodus with the barrier of water, the Red Sea? And as the Egyptian army breathed down their backside, the waters were parted and they were delivered through. And here they are. They're ready to enter the promised land. Joshua is the new leader. Their trusted leader, Moses, is gone, dead. He's not going to physically enter the promised land. And the barrier that remains is water, the Jordan River. God instructs Joshua to head on through, take the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, I thought this morning I should have had a picture of the Ark sort of recreated, put up there. It was an Ark. It was a fairly big, fancy box with cherubim on it, angels, and wings of protection, symbolically representing God's presence. And in that Ark was the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. In that Ark was a jar of manna, a remembrance from God's deliverance and feeding them. In that jar was Aaron's staff that had budded. Not in that jar, in that Ark was Aaron's staff that had budded. They were carrying with them a treasure trove of story that God had been faithful. And they were faithful to teach their children of those moments. In my ministry over the years, the pastoral call ministry God's given me, I don't know that I've realized how much that I seek to present people with Ebenezers, touchstone moments. It's something I started way back in the first parish I served in Dillsburg, back when Sharon Halderman was my DS in Cal Haverstock. As well. And I remember in that small faith community people saying, well, Catholics do that stuff. We shouldn't be doing that. And the stuff was lighting a baptismal candle and enveloping them in a blanket of prayer. And that's tradition. We don't do that. Oh yeah? The Ark of the Covenant is a sign that we celebrate that God's faithful, and we need to teach our children of God's faithfulness and give opportunities by memorializing God's presence with us now. I don't know how many of you have been, the 8 o'clock service doesn't get too many baptisms, but have you ever seen a baptism, and while Sherry and the praise team are playing and singing a beautiful baptismal song, do you ever see there's interaction going on at the altar between the pastor and the parents? It's not just, oh, your child's so pretty today. It's like, this is a candle that has images on it that signify the faith. It has waters, because there are moments in all of our lives when we can't make our own way. But it's also the waters of baptismal promise. God is with us in all things. There's a basin on that candle. Represents the servanthood, sacrificial call of Christ and all people who would follow in His name to serve in ways that maybe we never would be driven to our knees on our own. And then there's the cross, which represents the staff coming out of this basin, which suddenly looks like a ship on this water. And the cross is that God, and you hear this from me almost ad nauseum, but how can you become nauseous of thinking how God transformed that into a symbol of life? And then there's a dove coming from heaven, that God's presence is always with us in the Holy Spirit. And before you know it, it's the image of the church, the ship of faith moving through the waters of life. And I said, just like you celebrate this child's physical birth, you need to light this candle on the anniversary of this baptism and teach this child why you did this, what you felt, why you were promising and what you were promising to God. And I guarantee you, their rebellion as teenagers, and I don't want to go do that, might not be as strident, because they'll know your heart's in it. They'll know your story. God is teaching the Israelites and Joshua specifically this day, set up a stone of remembrance, an Ebenezer, a stone of help. Thus far the Lord has been here, been with us. Set it up. And then do you hear the main purpose of it? When your children say, well, what's that stone for? What's that tower for? Ah, let me tell you a story. And a story that is true. I love to go to Gettysburg National Park, the battlefield. I think we're so spoiled here. It's right under our nose. And you go there and there's people from around the world come and throughout the nation. And right there it is for us, and in the midst of it, you can go to Round Top, and you can hear the stories. You can go to Devil's Den. You can imagine the stories of sacrifice. And as Kim says, if we give up our control thing, well, how much time do we have yet? Where are we going to eat next? What are we going to do next? What? If we're still in the moment, the power that met Joshua is the same power that can meet us, the living God that speaks to us about our living, our loving, and our dying to causes greater than ourselves. When your children ask in a time to come, what do these stones mean to you? You shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and there was no way forward. We had come all that way, serving God, trusting God, and there we were, we couldn't get to the promised land. Instead of God using a leader to lift up the staff, God took a group of people representing all the people and an Ark of the Covenant, a giant box filled with their story. How many of you have boxes in your homes filled with story? To other people, it might just look like junk. But it's got a story to you, right? We are a people, if we're in Jesus, we're a people of story. Too often, we think of story means, well, that's not true. No, that's not what story is. Story is speaking our truth, our reality. This is who we are. And this is why I lead you as a child or a grandchild in this way, or why I do this, or why we do this as a family. It's part of our identity. It's our story. I showed this image a couple months ago. On the back it says, Ebenezer, to Pastor Troy and the congregation of Aldersgate United Methodist Church. This is a point where victory through God happens and appears as a marker for many on life's journey. Joshua and 1 Samuel, the Ebenezer. And then stones of remembrance built on the banks of the Jordan. Long story short, there was a parishioner that came and worshiped with us for about a year. He and his wife. And they were in the midst of a terrible corporate crushing of people that worked in that corporation, and he got ground up in that. And in a very distraught moment, we had opportunity through the pastoral office to minister with that family. And something must have been said in that moment that even though this is a place that looks like a dead end, this looks like hell, this feels like hell, this is hell on earth for you right now. What we can proclaim is Christ has died. You know the rest. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Things are not totally as they seem in the moment when the God of glory is still working resurrection. Now, the pastoral office doesn't remember saying that in those moments. But when that individual was relocated then to Colorado and new life opened up and new opportunities, he came and he said, I want you to have this. He said, on the morning after the church ministered to me through the pastoral office, I went into my office, and I was there thinking, how am I going to make it through this? And he said, a photography rep came in and said, I want to show you something. We're marketing a new thing. People can take their photos and put them on these nice pieces of wood, and they become great decorations and gifts in the home. And he said, I pretty much shooed the guy away. I wasn't in the mood. I was being crushed by the corporation. I was about to leave. I wasn't going to invest my energy at that point. I could barely survive. He said, later on that afternoon, I went over and picked up the item, and I looked at it. And the image on there happened to be an Ebenezer. Stones of remembrance. God is with you. Now, stories like this, that wasn't my story. But him telling me that story, you know what it did to me? Sherry, you know what it did? It convinced me, this stuff is really true. Isn't that cool? This is true. God is faithful. Did you catch that? This was just a happenstance image brought in and a marketing tool for that company. And it was an Ebenezer, and an Ebenezer was lifted up in the midst of that individual and his wife, the hell they were experiencing. So what's this have to do with us on Memorial Day weekend? I'm glad you asked. I knew you were thinking that. Are you telling the story of God? Are you gathering the trinkets that remember? Are you sharing it with family members? Are you rehearsing it even with yourself? Maybe go to Gettysburg and go to Memorial there and imagine those individuals who sacrificed in their stories, and then use that moment to be an Ebenezer to you and give thanksgiving to God. Say, God, you brought me through there. Thus far, the Lord has helped me. I look into the congregation and see people in so many circumstances over my 9 years here, where I've been in many of your homes or been in key moments of intersection only by virtue of the pastoral office. In those moments where you continued to keep on keeping on, have become Ebenezers in my journey. That's how God intends for us to be a people of story. I want to invite you to turn to page 156 in the hymnal, 156. I want to share with you the words from a great hymn that I learned in Sunday school years ago, 156. Before we look at that, I want to invite each of us to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Is there something you and I could do as followers of Jesus to memorialize a God event and action in our lives this weekend? Maybe it's writing it down. When God met me here or there. Maybe it's giving thanks to God. Maybe it's speaking to a relative and saying, I want you to know I've been challenged by the Spirit to lift up an Ebenezer moment. And you were part of that. And I want you to know you were part of God helping me recognize that all is not hopeless. And I erected a stone of remembrance figuratively, and you're part of that. Maybe it's sharing the story of our nation and pulling our kids aside, our grandkids, and saying, hey, this might be the start of Memorial Day weekend, but, you know, this was really Decoration Day. And families would make a pilgrimage to a grave and decorate graves to remember. You see, we can't blame subsequent generations for not knowing what our memorials are about. We only have ourselves to blame if we haven't told the story. This was one of my favorite hymns as a child. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. The verses are, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. When you tell your story, guess what it does to a feeble, tiring pastor's heart. It reminds me it's true. And imagine when we do that one with another. That's the importance of this Joshua passage. It no longer is just Moses with his staff. It's a whole people and their story. Aldersgate Church, this story here is a rich one. Those that were part of the visioning saw a bit of that when we had an Ebenezer. I don't know how Wanda Doverspike would like me calling her a pile of rocks, but when she stood up and she was anointed by God and she told this story, were we mightily brought into that story? When your kids ask, what are these stones about? What are all these trinkets about? What's this Aldersgate about? Tell the story. And if you don't have a story in God of his faithfulness, you got to start hanging out with God's people more and in the ministry context, because God is always up to something. God has brought us thus far. That's what an Ebenezer is. This week, be a witness to God alive. And when the kids don't ask the story, when the kids are just asking, how much longer till we can go eat? How much longer? Why do we got to go to Bible school or church? We say, let me tell you why. Let me tell the story of Jesus and his love for me. Would you join me in prayer as we prepare to sing? Lord God, in these moments, we thank you that you call us to commemorate, to preserve the memory of your intersection in our lives. Your name is holy. Your name is above every name. Your name will be the final name and the eternal name spoken. Blessed be your name. And blessed are those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, and a heart that wants to know that you are alive and present. Lord, help us to never forget the power of the story entrusted to the people as they were about to enter the promised land. All their story trinkets were used to part that sea and to bring them into the promised land. Not that everything would be fine and hunky-dory, but that the story might continue. and that individuals, no matter what might come their way, might be able to encourage and empower one another because this is trustworthy and true. God, I pray your blessing upon each person here, that they may have a blessed and a vibrant Memorial Day weekend, and that we might pause to memorialize, preserve the memory of your great faithfulness pursuing us. Give us voice to share those stories one with another. For we know ultimately that's how disciples are made. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise as able to sing.
Let's sing it out of here.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name